Boss Lady is sponsored by Fraser & Dieter, a top 50 accounting and advisory firm that has been repeatedly named a best firm for women in leadership. Fraser & Dieter is proud to support programming for women executives and entrepreneurs. Learn more at fd.cpa. Hi, everybody. This is Hey Boss Lady, our podcast about women leaders making change. I'm Christy Atwater.
And I'm Andrea Gigline. Today, we're going to be talking about change in the future of work, if we are all not so fatigued from all the change and all the new things that are going on the future of work. But I promise you, our guest today is a person who's going to enlighten us and tell us that some of the changes that Christy's going to tell you about right now would just be like old hat to her. So first, Christy, let our audience know the changes that have gone on in your life in the area of work.
Yes. So my work gave me the opportunity to work permanently remote. And so I am working in Florida by the beach with my family. And it's amazing for us. You know, my son is able to go to school. I'm closer to my dad who's aging. And I'm still doing my job and people hardly know the difference.
You know, that's really magnificent because clearly that was the promise when everybody started talking about these technological changes 20 and 30 years ago, and then 2020 forced everyone's hand. You know, today we have the opportunity to speak with someone who lived it long before a pandemic forced the hand. I'd love to bring into the conversation Jenny Bloom, our guest today, who is a fractional CFO. Her title alone should give you a little hint about her experience. Prior to that, though, she actually was the CFO for two leading technology-oriented companies, MailChimp and Zapier. So welcome, Jenny. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Jenny, let's start with the clean stuff first. Let's start with the definition of what is a fractional CFO?
Well, a fractional CFO is somebody that does the role of the CFO, but not as a full-time basis. So it's usually somewhere between, you know, 5 to 20 hours a week.
So I find that so interesting. How do you become a fractional CFO? Like, how did you get there?
I wasn't actually looking for it. I retired at the end of 2021 and was looking for board roles. And while I was looking for board roles, I had several people ask me if I could help them out and be their CFO for a little bit. And so kind of that's what happened. So I wasn't really looking, but I found it and I'm actually really enjoying it.
And, you know, I want us to talk a lot about today because I think that that's going to be critically important to some of my own personal experiences. But first, Jenny, long before, as I said in the opening, you know, long before 2020, you actually had some experiences as a full-time CFO that put you at the leading edge of where we are today. Fill us in on that.
Yeah. So back when I was at MailChimp, I got a second home in the mountains, which was about an hour from Atlanta, and wanted to go there on the weekends, but we get stuck in traffic. So asked if I could, you know, start working from there once a week. So I would work from my office in the mountains once a week. And, you know, it worked, but, you know, a lot of people didn't necessarily like it because everyone wasn't allowed to do it. And then my next job was with Zapier, which was 100% remote, and they always had been from the start. And at first—
Hey, Jenny, give us a year on that. Tell us when you were first 100% remote.
2016. So it was actually February 2016.
Great.
And I was skeptical. I didn't think it could work. I didn't know how you could grow a company remotely, and it just didn't seem to make sense. So actually, when they'd offered me the job, I said, "Can I do contract for a few months? Because I'm not sure about this." So after about a month, we both decided it was going to work, and you know, I was there for 6 years. And yeah, I can't imagine going back in the office again. I think there's so many benefits to working remotely that, yeah, they far outweigh some of the issues that you have with it.
So tell us how the company went about that, because that was, now everyone, because they were forced to do it with the pandemic, but this was pre-pandemic when this company did that. And you, I think you said you had to build your staff yourself and build that kind of culture. How did they do it then?
So they weren't actually, you know, looking to do it at the beginning. It started out as the three founders went to the University of Missouri and they won a tech startup competition. And
wow.
Later, they got into Y Combinator in San Francisco. So they all moved out to Y Combinator for, you know, 6 months during that time. And then one of the founders was getting married and his wife or his fiance was still in Missouri. So he wanted to go back and be with her. So they were already, they're like, okay, we're going to have to work remotely for the three of us to work together. And then it happened that they, you know, they needed to start hiring people and it happened to be people they knew from college. So they were all throughout Missouri or the Midwest. So it just happened. It's like, okay, let's just do this remotely. So they start out kind of that way, on purpose.
You know, I want to interject something there because that's one of the things, you know, we've always explored in Hey Boss Lee, what will be different when women are leading and have the influence. And one of the things that I would take it to a more gender neutral observation through my life, the lives of the founders, the qualities of the founders, the values of the founders shape a company in a really interesting way. And a lot of times it had to do with lifestyle, like the organizations that in fact allowed women to bring their children to work. They're going to be people who probably had children. The men who understood what it meant at the beginning of 2020 when the world was like so crazy. The ones that really had the patience as leaders for children and dogs and everything else in the middle of the Zooms. It was because they were living it too. So I think your message about what your founders, you know, there was a need in the founders that everyone else got to benefit from.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, from there, it's like building it from the ground up. It's really being intentional about everything you do and thinking about how it affects everything. It's like really writing down stuff. I became a much better writer because mm-hmm. it's like you have to make sure you're like everything is very clear and concise.
Interesting.
And then as we grew, we became an international company and we had people in like 19 different time zones. So we had wow. to really be considerate about how to do that. So it's like we would, like if we had all company meetings or team meetings, you know, we'd switch them off each week so that, you know, the East Coast and Europe would have, you know, be able to come one time. And then, you know, the next week would be like APAC and the West Coast.
The other
so it's just being considerate and thoughtful about everything you do.
The other thing that I noticed that I think made a difference for Zapier is that they were a technology company. And, you know, mm-hmm. as we all know, technology is mm-hmm. the thing that allows us all to work permanently remote. And,
right.
you know, I've had a lot of learnings over the last few years on technology and still on an daily basis, there's more to come.
But I'm going to say the other side of that. And Jenny, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, because I'm really the interloper who have just observes all this. A lot of the technology companies, a lot of the biggest technology companies have admitted to being some of the most resistant to remote work. Jenny, was that your experience?
Yeah, I have noticed that. But I also think, a lot companies are having to rethink that because,
yep.
yeah, I think the market's starting to get a little bit more loosen up a little, but you know, the market has been so tight. And when once people start working remote, they're like, if I can do this, I'm going to find another company
right.
that will hire me. So I think there are companies that are going to have to rethink that and people are going to go where they want to go to fit their lifestyle.
Yeah. You know, I'd love us to address the fact that you're now in a different phase of your career. You did the full time and opportunities came your way. And even though they weren't planned, you just stepped into them as they did. And I will say that I know I'm experiencing this very strongly where I am currently. And I'm really intrigued on how you have transformed your career as a CFO and your knowledge as a CFO into the fractional aspects of it. So talk to us a little bit. I know you said that it was, you know, just fell in your lap, and I do love that. But how do things, like when you think about it, how do things just fall in your lap?
Yeah, I mean, you prepare yourself, right? I wasn't really looking for it, but you know, it's basically the same job I have been doing for, you know, 20 plus years, but it's just in a shorter time frame and, you know, less, you know, it's not a full-time job or one employer. So
correct.
So it is, it's just, you know, it's me, it's networking. It's, you know, I wouldn't have got these had I not met some of these people beforehand. So a lot of it's just getting to know people and networking so that then these, when the opportunities are available, you know, they ask you about them.
That's great.
I want to hear about your current company that you're a fractional CFO at, because it's such a neat company. And I wonder if you might tell us a little bit about it.
My biggest client, which is where I'm spending most of my time, is Thrive Cosmetics. And so, yeah, they sell, it's an e-commerce company that sells makeup and skincare online. But one of the best parts about it is they give part of their, they give their products and money away to different organizations. And like the products they give to women's shelters, and they sent some over to Ukraine. And they sent money to, like, they started a scholarship, I think it was University of Louisville, for the Breonna Taylor Foundation. So they do, you know, the company's doing very well, but they're also giving, which is what was really important to me. It's why I really enjoy working with them.
Yes, and I'm going to admit, I have been a big customer since the pandemic and, you know, fell into an Instagram ad and actually looked at my order history with them, because I've now traded out a whole host of my base cosmetics to their products. And I love that at the bottom of their website, there are four or five, I think it's actually six organizations. Like, you know, when this, you know, I'm going to be honest, I thought it was a bit jive when, you know, like it was saying it was, you know, cosmetics. And I was like, oh, another company taking advantage of using, you know, the public as like, this is, you know, I'm giving. And I'm really jaded about how companies use that. I want them to be really sincere in it. And I really appreciated. I felt it was very sincere. And their products are really good. And so it's been 2.5 years and I'm reordering. And that says a lot to the product. And I don't, you know, I haven't gone back and checked their social good aspects, because their products are actually that good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're not doing an ad for them. It's just
we really like them.
And I think it's an interesting switch. Like, we're talking about how the last few years have changed the future. One is related to remote work, and then another is related to, you know, looking more at causes and companies and, you know, what they're trying to do besides sell their product, which is very interesting. Have you run across that too, Jenny?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I think a lot of people within pandemic, I think they, you know, reevaluated their, you know, lifestyle and just their whole mindset. And I think a lot of people want to do something to better the world after the pandemic versus just going into a job that was 9 to 5 and doing, just building, you know, a widget or something.
You know, I want to talk disadvantages. Each one of us has lived and worked remotely. I've been doing it really my whole career in one way or another. Jenny and Christy, this is really for the two of you. After you peel back the convenience and opportunities that may not have existed, you know, Christy's company is not in Florida where she lives. What are the disadvantages from your perspective?
I'll let Jenny go, but I know what mine are.
Okay. Well, I'd say there's two of them. One is that you do need FaceTime to build a relationship. So one thing we did at Zapier is we would have two all company retreats and one team retreat each year. So that's like you build the relationships in person so that then you can work together remotely.
Beautiful.
So
mm-hmm.
I think that's super important. And, you know, sometimes it's hard, like when you have to have a difficult conversation, to have it over Zoom. So, you know, some things are better in person, but I think there's definitely more advantages just because of that. But I, to me, one of the biggest disadvantages was, you know, Zoom can have a lag depending on different people's internet. And, you know, men's voices are usually louder. So, like, I know a lot of times in meetings, especially like our exec meeting and sometimes even my team meetings, is the women's voices weren't heard. you know, because they didn't get, they weren't able to get in, or, you know, the men would speak up a lot louder. So, like in our executive meetings, you know, it's like me and the other women, we would help each other out and say, hey, Pam, did you have something to say or something, you know, just making sure that each one of us was able
to get our
point across. And same with my team meetings, I would call out on some of the women too, to make sure that they, that the men weren't speaking all the time, which, you know, that happens in an in-person meeting also, but I think it's
sure.
But when you're there, it's easier to see that happening versus on Zoom. And sometimes if you have too many, you don't see everybody on the Zoom call, right? If there's too many squares.
Yeah, I would say, you know, the human contact, the opportunity to mix. And I have an advantage in that I worked for the company for 14 years before I've made this move. So I have already developed those relationships. And I don't know if you all have noticed this, but when I meet someone virtually on Zoom or on Teams or wherever, it doesn't stick like it does when I meet them in person. And so I often am impressed by people who come into a company totally remote and have to develop those relationships. Now, I've seen people do it because I hired someone in my department who was a female, and she came in, and she has been really good about developing relationships. And it's impressive to me because I think that would be hard coming into a company new. How about you as a fractional CFO? Is that a challenge for you, Jenny?
Not as much, because I think there's only a few people that I'm really interacting with or need to interact with. So it's not as big of a deal. I do,
That's a great observation, Jenny, that when you've got a position where you really have a very narrow, who it is that you need to report to, the information and the tasks that you're creating, it's an easier task versus Christy, who has a large company, teams, you know, probably that's more resembling what Zapier was for you years ago than what doing things at the fractional levels. And ladies, I want to say, I want us to take a break because of course we have to do our promo. And I want us to circle back on the relationship part of this when we come back from break. It's so important having, you know, the conversation about what technology can do for us. But both of you bringing up relationships is really sitting with me. So we'll be back right after this break.
Hi, everybody. You're listening to Hey Boss Lady, our podcast about women leaders making change. I'm Christy Atwater.
And I'm Andrea Gigline. We're in the midst of so much change in the way we work, in the way we live, in the way we think about what's important.
In the midst of it all, the power of women is growing. We're making gains in the workplace, in corporate boardrooms, and in the marketplace.
In season 3, we'll focus on that change and the future ahead.
I think it's really important to remember that women have collective power.
Yes.
And with collective power comes the possibility of huge societal and business change.
That's Missy Munoz, leader of ESG at Fraser & Dieter.
Join us on Hey Boss Lady for our conversation with Missy and meet all the women we've been talking to this season as we focus on the future and what it means to us.
Welcome back to Hey Boss Lady. Christy and I have been talking with Jenny Bloom, and it has been a real good roadmap for me of thinking about what it means to be in this new world of work. As we said before, Jenny is a fractional CFO at this point in her career. And where we left off, we were talking about relationships. Christy, I want to ask you, it's only been a few months since you've moved. What are the biggest, like you said that it's relationships, but what does that look like? Like, what are you missing when it comes to day-to-day work?
I think it's the coffee chats, or, you know, the opportunity to see someone in person. Sometimes you don't catch the body language as well virtually that you would catch in person. And I think for me too, also, besides the relationship piece, it's like you want to be able to touch something. Not that you touch people in the workplace, but, you know, you want to, you feel like you want to, and I don't know if this is something from working so long the way I have, but it's almost like you want to feel like you can go to the building. And when you can't, you're like, well, I'm going to have to connect another way.
Yeah. Jenny, you've been doing this for a pretty long time. How do you build relationships?
I think one of the things I did not expect in working remotely is I was closer to my team at Zapier than I was at any other company. And
wow.
Interesting.
I think part of that had to do with, you know, being on Zoom and stuff. You know, you see people's life happening behind them, you know,
right.
It's like my dog's throwing up, but the kids are crying, you know, it's like things are going on and, you know, people show up without makeup and sweats on. Right. So it's like, it's people are their authentic selves. Where I think, you know, before, you know, at MailChimp, you know, I was in the executive hallway with all this big glass windows and people like, they didn't want to walk over there and come talk to me. Where now it's like, you know, when I worked at Zapier, it's like somebody would message me on Slack, like, hey, can I talk to you for a few minutes? So I felt like it was, I was a lot more accessible. People talked to me a lot more. And yeah, so, and so I got, we got a lot closer with people because it was more authentic. There was nothing, no appearances or anything in the way.
Oh, you know, you've just excited me about that answer. And Christy and Jenny, I've made a guess about something. I'm going to ask the question. I may be wrong. First, Jenny, you, if given a forced choice, do you view yourself as an extrovert or an introvert?
Probably more of an introvert, but I'm pretty much in the middle.
Okay. And Christy, what about you?
I'd say the same thing. What do they call that term now? An extroverted introvert? So
yeah.
I like doing things and interacting, but I also need to refresh by having some quiet time or alone time.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jenny, what you said to me, like I sense you as a very introspective person just in our conversations. I obviously sense Christy that way also. And when you said that people were more, you know, they were reaching out, they would send you a message on Slack, they would do things. That to me is one of the promises of technology that I remember 25 years ago saying introverts are now speaking, you know, air quotes, more. But there was a medium that allowed them to reach out that took away from the awkwardness of having to approach another human being and possibly be rejected. You know, you send a message silently. If you don't hear anything back, you know, as Christy loves to say, crickets, it doesn't hurt quite as much as having, you know, someone say, look at you like with a blank stare.
Right. Or walk right by you and not say anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you can always say blame technology when you miss a text or you miss a chat. But when you're walking right by someone, it's a little harder to take, right?
Yeah. So, Jenny, I know you've taken a lot of your time today, and I really appreciate it. And I know that I speak for Christy also. I would just like to say thank you. Jenny Bloom is a fractional CFO, and I am Andrea Gigline.
And I'm Christy Atwater. This is Hey Boss Lady. If you like what you hear, share us with your friends and family.